Jaganyo natamam vrittim anapadi bhajin naraha ritira janyam apatsu sarvesham api sarvashah jaganyo natamam vrittim anapadi bhajin naraha ritira janyam apatsu sarvesham api sarvashah. Lo, person. Na, not. Uttamam, high. Vrittim, means of livelihood. Anapati, when there is no social upheaval. Bhajet, may accept. Naraha, amen. Rite, accept. Rajanyam, the profession of the Kshatriyas. Apatsu, at times of emergency. Sarvisham, of everyone in every status of life. Api, certainly. Sarvashaha, all professions or occupational duties. Translation. Except in a time of emergency, lower persons should not accept the occupational duties of those who are higher. When there is such an emergency, of course, everyone but the Kshatriya may accept the means of livelihood of others. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The occupational duty of a brahmana should not be accepted by persons in lower social orders, especially vaishyas and shudras. For example, an occupational duty of the brahmana is to teach Vedic knowledge, but unless there's an emergency, this professional duty should not be accepted by the kshatriyas, vaishyas, or shudras. Even a kshatriya cannot accept the duties of a brahmana unless there's an emergency, and then even if he does so, he should not accept charity from anyone else. Sometimes brahmanas protest against our Krishna consciousness movement for creating brahmanas from Europeans, or, in other words, from lechers and yavanas. This movement, however, is here supported in Srimad Bhagavatam. At the present moment, society is in a chaotic condition and everyone has given up the cultivation of spiritual life, which is especially meant for the brahmanas. Because spiritual culture has been stopped all over the world, there is now an emergency, and therefore it is now time to train those who are considered lower and condemned so that they may become brahmanas and take up the work of spiritual progress. The spiritual progress of human society has been stopped, and this should be considered an emergency. Here is solid support from Narada Muni of the movement known as Krishna Consciousness. Jaganyo natamam vrittim anapati bhajin naraha Ritti Rajanyam Apatsu Sarvisham Api Sarvashaha. Translation: except in a time of emergency, lower persons should not accept the occupation duties of those who are higher. When there's such an emergency, of course, everyone but the Kshatriya may accept the means of livelihood of others. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashtadyadesha Jayane. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So some time ago I took notes on this particular verse we are discussing today, and I would like to share those notes with you. We can go through them. First of all, this purport illustrates Srila Prabhupada's preaching spirit. As he himself explains in the purport, that there's an emergency situation in society because people are not trained any longer in the principles of the Varnashram institution, Varnashram system. And Srila Prabhupada also points out that he was severely criticized by the caste Brahmanas and others for engaging the so-called Mlechas and Yavanas. Why so-called? The Mlechas and Yavanas. in the Vaishnava culture, even to the extent of initiating them as bona fide Brahmanas. This is revolutionary. Men and women from Western countries who are considered by others as low class, born in a low class family, how can they take up a Brahminical culture? But Srila Prabhupada so strongly points out in emergency situations this can be done. And certainly we have an emergency situation. Now, people don't even know any longer what Varnashram means. But it is a natural social system and a great, great lack in our educational institutional system in Western countries. Now, why so many people are not satisfied? Why they're not happy? Of course, one reason is they do not follow any rules and regulations which are described in the Vedic literatures. This is one reason. Being constantly attacked by the reactions of sinful activities, dating back even into previous lives, existences, and also because they're not engaged according to their psychophysical condition. They're not happy. The most of the people, they have to be engaged in some occupation simply to earn money, earn their livelihood, but they are not happy about their work. But the Varnashram system is so nice that everybody, more or less everybody, was happy. Because of that system of being engaged according to one's own nature. The physical nature differs from person to person. The mental capacities, guna, karma, Krishna clearly explains in the Bhagavad Gita that everyone should be engaged according to guna and karma. The guna, the particular mode of nature. Some people are situated more in the mode of goodness, others more in passion, others more in ignorance. Everybody is differently influenced by the modes of nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna so scientifically explains the influence of the three modes of material nature. It influences practically everything. Material nature actually means the three modes of nature. That's the actual meaning of material nature. Everything. Our activities, even the foodstuffs we are taking, they exist in the three modes of material nature. The activities we perform, desires people have, so many things are influenced by the modes of material nature. And yet people think they're free. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. No, you cannot. Nobody is free in this material world. Everybody is bound by the ropes of the three modes of material nature. So it's like a strong rope consists of three strands, I think you say. Three strands. They're being tied together in such a way that it becomes a very, very strong rope. So in this way, the combination of the three modes of material nature binds the living entity to this material existence. And they're being forced, literally forced, to act in a particular way. And if they are not being engaged according to their particular nature, they cannot be satisfied, they cannot be happy. And if one is not satisfied, not happy, then it will be difficult to focus the mind on the cultivating spiritual life. It will be very difficult. Also, when people are not satisfied, not happy, they generally avoid association. They want to be alone. Leave me alone. Just like when I was on an airplane the other day, the person sitting next to me, I wanted to have some kind of conversation because he noticed, you know, I'm dressed as a sannyasi devotee. So I thought that he might be interested. But then I noticed so you're flying often to India, and he didn't want to be bothered. No. This was the reply, no. Then I tried again, another very, very short cut answer. They don't want to be bothered. Why? Because not satisfied, not happy. But if someone is happy, satisfied, immediately, they're so enthusiastic to have a conversation, share their experiences in life with others, very, very enthusiastic to talk, because they're more satisfied, more happy. So these modes of material nature are such important subject matter, and it is also lacking in our Western education. There's not much awareness of the modes of material nature, but it is such an important topic because it influences everything. What can be more important? And it is also explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There Lord Krishna explains Matpara, related to a devotee, elevated devotee. If one is not established or situated in an elevated level, platform of Krishna consciousness, then one must be engaged in the Varnashram system. There is one verse like this, Lord Krishna explains, that one should rigidly observe the social divisions and regulations to remain steady on the platform of pious human life. Also in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport that the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and essential power. They must keep themselves fit and place themselves in a normal condition of life. And then Prabhupada explains, you know, what constitutes a normal position. It is not the same for everyone. And therefore, there are divisions of Varnashram. And of course, we don't refer, when we talk about Varnashram, we don't refer to the Asuric Varnashram system, the casteism. This is just another upadhi, bodily designation. I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and so on. And then there's competition. The Brahmanas, they think they're better than the Shudras, and so on. Competition, envy, and pride. But the Daiva Varnashram system, it is not based on a bodily designation. It is a harmonious system to work cooperatively. Cooperation facilitates cooperation in order to please, satisfy Krishna. Atah pumbhya dvija shrishta vanashama vibhagashaha. In that verse, Lord, what is that? Samsitim haritoshanam. Haritoshanam. The whole purpose of the Varnashram system is to please Krishna. That's the whole purpose. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on that particular verse from the Padma Purana, and he explains that the whole purpose of human life is to please the Lord. Please satisfy Lord Krishna. Whatever way this can be done. But the main point is to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, then that's the perfection of existence. There's no other perfection than that. If Krishna is pleased, then everything is being accomplished. And Srila Prabhupada could see that. It's also interesting in the Ramananda Rai, that conversation with the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now he wanted to hear from Ramananda Roy. Now what is the highest? What was that exactly, that question? Can you help? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to know from Ramananda Roy, what is the what is the perfection of life and the means to attain it? And Ramananda Roy, as we know, he gives so many different explanations. He also explained the Varnashram system. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that this is external. Bahaya. External. Explains something more, higher, higher, higher. So that does not mean Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected the Varnashram system. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in one particular lecture, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to know something higher. That is for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that should not be imitated. That should not be imitated. He just wanted to know something higher. And then eventually, Ramananda Roy, we can go to that. Yes, he quoted a verse spoken by Lord Brahma. Jnani prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam stani stita shudikatam tanuvan manobi ye payasu jito jito abhyasitais trilokyam. So that particular verse, it emphasizes the importance of simply hearing about Lord Krishna. And Lord Brahma, he points out in this verse that if one is situated properly in one's occupation, one's social status in society and ashram, one should give up the process of mental speculation and simply hear about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada quoted quite often this particular verse to point out that there's no need to change one's position. Whatever position one might be situated, simply shuddhi, shuddhikatam, one has to hear about Lord Krishna and to offer with one's mind, manobi, mind, vanu, vaka, one's words, words, mind, and body, the body, activity, everything should be dedicated, surrendered to the Lord. One should offer one's respect to that process of hearing Krishna Katha. And Srila Prabhupada, he knew that. He simply engaged everyone, the entire world, in simply hearing about Krishna. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote that simply continue hearing about Krishna, that eventually will conquer Krishna. He wrote in one letter. Eventually that will conquer Krishna. Sanatana Goswami also gives a interesting explanation related to Tanuvan Manobi, body, words, mind. He gives three explanations. First, related to the devotees, that through their body, words, and mind, they conquer Krishna. Related to the non-devotees, their bodily strength, their verbal expertise, and their so-called mental power, they can never conquer Krishna. Not possible. Related to Krishna himself, that Lord Krishna's transcendental body, his words, and his mind, they are conquered by the devotees. Wonderful explanation. We have the example of Bhishma, for instance. He conquered Lord Krishna because Lord Krishna, he promised not to participate in the war battle of Kurukshetra. Lord Krishna, he thought, it's a family affair, I will not get involved. And Duryodhan, he was not very happy with Bhishma's performance. He seems to be hesitant, naturally due to his affection toward the Pandavas. He was hesitant to fight. So he pointed this out to Bhishma. Now you are not fighting wholeheartedly. Why are you hesitating? Is it due to affection? No. In order to please Duryodhan, He said, no, I promise. I will fight, I will kill the Pandavas tomorrow. Is that all right? Yes, sir. So he fought so ferociously that Lord Krishna had to break his promise in order to protect Arjuna, the Pandavas. He broke, so he conquered Krishna. If Krishna promises anything, there's no way to change Lord Krishna's decision. Nobody can conquer Krishna. Nobody can. He's a supreme being, supreme personality of Godhead. If he promises, nobody can break. But Bhishma, he was so determined that he broke Lord Krishna's promise. Yudhishthira Maharaj, this is another example. When Lord Krishna wanted to leave Hastinapur for Dwaraka, first he accepted the beautiful prayers of Queen Kunti, but then he went to the palace to prepare leaving for Dwaraka. But then Yudhishthira Maharaj came and he persuaded Lord Krishna, please stay just a few more days. And Lord Krishna changed his mind. So by his devotion and love for Krishna, he conquered Krishna. And of course we have the example of Mother Yashoda. She wanted to bind Krishna to Damodar Leela. First it was not possible, and then still eventually she bound Lord. Nobody can bind the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But eventually she was successful. She also conquered Krishna. Then we have the examples of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. They used to play with Krishna. There's that beautiful verse. Itam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam. I forgot now. Yeah. Wonderful verse. And in this verse it is explained that the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, they used to play with Lord Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence. And for the devotees, they surrendered everything to Krishna. And for the ordinary people, he appeared to be just like an ordinary child. And these cowherd boys, they must have performed so many pious activities for many, many lives in order to be able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krita punja punja. They must have performed. They're so fortunate. Who can explain? Who can describe their fortune? Beautiful verse. So they played with Krishna. They also conquered Krishna many times. Playing means someone is winning and someone else is losing. That's part of playing. And sometimes Krishna lost. And then Madhu Mangal, when Lord Krishna complained, I remember once Bhakti Sharuma, she gave a beautiful explanation. And he described that when Lord Krishna lost, the system is that one has to carry some of the winning party on the shoulder. So Lord Krishna wanted to avoid this. And he found so many excuses. No, we lost because I slipped on a banana peel. So many excuses. But Madhu Mangal, being a Brahmana, the son of Sandipani Muni, I just came from Ujjain, And we visited Sandipani Muni's ashram. Very peaceful, beautiful place. And Sandipani Muni, he was such a powerful Brahmana teacher. In this particular place, there was no bathing ghat. No pond, nothing to bathe in. And Sandipani Muni, he just pushed his heel in the ground and he just created a bathing place. So powerful. Madhu Mangal, he is the son of Sandipani Muni, a Brahmana. And he pointed out to Lord Krishna that you are finding so many excuses. Just accept the fact that you lost. I'm a Brahmana, Madhu Mangal said, and you should respect what I'm saying. Then Lord Krishna replied, but my, he explained that it is not just a question by birth to call yourself a Brahmana, but you also have to prove yourself by your deeds, by your activities, and just look at my deeds, Lord Krishna explained. When I was just 7 years old, the Putana demon tried to kill me, but instead I killed Putana. And the Trinavata demon, I also killed him. When I was 7 years old, I lifted Govardhan Hill. So these are also wonderful deeds, wonderful activities. You should respect that. And Madhu Mangal replied, just see, now you're also becoming proud. On top of losing, now you become proud. Now, he was seven days old, Putana. He was just an infant. What could you have done? It is described in the Vedic literature that the demigods, they always protect infants, children, and old people. So the fact is that you were just protected by the demigods, but somehow you want to take the credit. And lifting Govardhan Hill, again, you were just a child, 7 years old. You really think that you could lift a hill? All the elderly cowherd boys, they are very, very strong with their sticks. They supported Govardhan Hill. And you just take credit. You want to take credit for it. Then Lord Krishna explained, but what about Kaliya, the Kaliya serpent? I subdued Kaliya. Such a powerful, poisonous snake. No. You were already lost. Madhu Mangal replied, in the coils of the serpent Kaliya. And your blackish hue became even more blackish because of the poison of Kaliya. Then I noticed that Madhya Shoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all the cowherd boys, they all fainted seeing you. In this condition. Then I took compassion. I chanted some Vedic mantras. And they all came back to life by the power of these mantras. And the Kaliya snake, hearing these mantras, became afraid and she released you. And now you want to take credit for it. Just see. So when Krishna heard that, he paid his obeisances. Oh, then please accept my humble obeisances. And Krishna bowed down. So they conquered, certainly in so many different ways, Lord Krishna. And what to speak of the gopis of Vrindavan. So nobody can ajita. Lord Krishna is known as Ajita. Nobody can conquer Krishna. not possible. But if he wants to be conquered by the love and devotion of his devotees, then it is certainly possible. Only if Krishna wants, if Krishna desires. So Srila Prabhupada knew the potency, the purifying potency of Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna. This is also one reason why Srila Prabhupada was so enthusiastic to publish books and distribute them as widely as possible, because everyone will benefit. That's the actual process. And he mentioned that in the beginning, if he would have introduced Varnashram, it would be too difficult to follow. I remember in the early days in Germany, we tried to introduce the Varnashram system. And it only lasted for a little more than 1 week. Because it's just too difficult for the ego to accept that I'm a Vaishya, I'm a Shudra. And everybody wanted to be Brahmana immediately. Standing in the queue, yes, I want to be Brahmana. So Srila Prabhupada knew that. But he also indicated at a later point it might be possible. And when the devotees simply take to the process of hearing about Krishna, chanting Lord Krishna's name, the heart, mind will become more and more purified. And then it will be possible to work cooperatively. Work nicely together, harmoniously, simply to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. And when the devotees are on that platform, then it will be possible to introduce, in practical terms, the Varnashram system. It will be possible. But first, we have to be educated. This is Srila Prabhupada. You know, as long as 40 years ago, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a Varnashram college in Mayapur. It has not been done till now. That's the beginning. The beginning is always education. Any system, any social system, the beginning is education. The members have to be educated. And because this is not happening, everybody has some different ideas what Varnashram means. The first, there must be education. And if all the devotees are being systematically educated about Varnashram system, then the understanding will develop more and more, and then it will be possible at one point to practice the Varnashram system. So I would like to stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. I don't know how much time we have. How long does the class go? So maybe we can take a couple of questions, if there are any questions. Anybody has any comment? Hot potato?
Potato means no touch.
No, I know what it means, hot potato. You cannot touch it. And you quickly pass it on to someone else.
To really practically understand how to apply this in a very intricate
So that was your comment, yeah. Yeah.
My fear of Arnasha
would make the same mistake. Yeah. Yeah, we should fear, you said? Fear Varnasham? Be cautious, yeah. So be cautious about Varnasham. Don't repeat mistakes of the past. Yeah. Well, what can be done? Srila Prabhupada wanted it. He said it very clearly. Several times in writing and verbally he wanted. He pointed out that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to establish Daiva Varnasham. And Srila Prabhupada, he also wanted it. Again, my point is, you know, first there must be education. We should publish literature which explains in a scientific way. Varnasham does not just mean, you know, farm projects. It's an entire system. You want to make a comment, Marsh? Oh, yeah, right. So Jadveda Swami, he pointed out that the Gurukula, to develop our Gurukula system, that is, of course, essential. It's another point, our second, third, fourth, fifth generation, if they are being properly trained, from birth on, as Prahlad Maharaj points out, from birth on, they're being trained properly in Krishna consciousness, in the Varnasham system, then that naturally will, you know, spread, will grow. Yeah, very important. And we still struggle with that. It is a challenge. Yeah, it's not just a question of, you know, education, but the students also, they have to be qualified. The teacher in the Varnasham system, the teacher would not educate a student if he thought he's not qualified, would not accept, would not teach. So it's not just, you know, going to seminars, reading books, and then I know. One also has to be qualified. And to a certain extent, and the teacher, he could see that. And then accordingly, the education also differs. It's not that everybody's being educated in the same way. Anyway, it's as you mentioned, you have to be cautious. But at the same time, we have to begin at one point somewhere. We have to start. Yes.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Prabhupada explains how even the Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, that our nature should be properly employed. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text Number 32.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. material power, then he should organize the Sankirtan movement, fight like Arjuna for Krishna's cause. And if they have some material resources, then they should be at the disposal of those who are organizing the Sankirtan movement so they can organize the preaching and spread Krishna consciousness. But the absence, but the best thing after all, Prabhupada says, is to hear and chant about the glories of Krishna. But in the absence of such propensity, one should dovetail everything that one has an inclination for in the services of the Supreme Lord. And then naturally that tendency, that desire to hear and chant about Krishna will increase.
Yeah, right. And we also need Vaishyas. That's another point. We need Vaishyas. Vaishya does not mean to just maintain yourself. Vaishya means he makes profit. This is one verse in the Bhagavatam that the nature of a Vaishya is that he is very greedy for profit, but he's also very charitable. And this combination is very much needed nowadays. Vaishya means to make profit. Srila Prabhupada, he told once a story, I want to make it short. There was one gentleman, and he made profit by selling. There was a plague, I think, of rats, and he was selling one rat. He got a few annas and a very small amount of money. Another one, he made little profit, and he became very wealthy, very rich. That's a Vaishya. You start off with a dead rat, and you become very wealthy. That's a Vaishya. So we need Vaishyas. Vaishyas, proper Gurukul, educational system. We need Vaishyas. And what was the other point? Anyway, still for now, the main point is chanting. Srila Prabhupada, he knew the transcendental potency of the holy name and the Sankirtan movement. He did not want to leave the spreading of Krishna consciousness to so-called high-class brahmanas, because then Krishna consciousness would never spread all over the world. He knew that. So he took that risk, having full faith in the purifying potency of the holy name and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.